Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is far from the first time we have talked vaping. But let's talk about it again, because the study came out yesterday and we had a busy show, including in-studio guests reacting to the Vikings, overrated, underrated. We didn't get to it, but still a lot of people discussing it today. But the study that came out about it, just an enormous spike in the number of high school students who are vaping. Annual survey, high school students, shows 37% of seniors have tried vaping, up from 28% in 2017. 21% of seniors said they'd recently vaped in 18 compared to 11%. So, Adam, that's a big jump, right? Just to go over the numbers again, going 37%, so more than one in three have used it, up 9%. Peer numbers from the year before. 21% said they recently vaped. This released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention last month. Okay, that was last month, okay, which found a 78% in e-cigarette use by teens. The latest survey indicates the students, now this is just foolishness, this is just ignorance, that students may not realize they're using an addictive substance. More than 25% claimed they vaped just flavoring in the past year. That's up from a little over 20%. Most vaping products contain nicotine. And Juul, by far the most popular e-cigarettes product, does not offer nicotine-free flavors. Think about that, Adam. A quarter of them are thinking, there's no nicotine in here, when the overwhelming percentage have nicotine in it, and they're not even aware. All right, you have two girls who are going to face this exposure. I have boys around that age. It's very clear that many adults have used e-cigs as a way to stop. And for adults, I don't want to stop that. We're seeing, obviously, greater restrictions with the FDA and limitations on where the products can be sold, should be sold, and an age, right? Because we've already had the age issue with cigarettes for a long, long time. When we see these numbers and when people toss out words such as epidemic, where do you stand on it? Because some of this is up to the consumers, even as young as they are, to stop deluding themselves into thinking that there's no nicotine in the product when there is. And literally, Juul, by far the leader, puts nicotine in all of them. Yes, there are some that don't, but that is a small percentage. So to act like for high school kids, they're only doing this to avoid cigarettes, it's just folly. It's just not true. There are some who will use it this way, but it's becoming more and more commonplace. Is this another example of our society where you believe you're libertarian? It's buyer beware. You should know what's in it, and it's up to you. But when it's kids and it's products, we have been much more vociferous, much more detailed, much more congressionally required, legally required to put that information out there. If you're a parent, how worried are you? What's your role in this? If you're an adult and you're using e-cigs and it's helped you to quit, are you worried it's becoming tougher and tougher to get e-cigarettes? And you're thinking, give me a break. All the time when people need to raise money and to punish us and, you know, what we have to pay and where we have to get the product, it comes down to us. How much does this matter to you? Because it affects you directly. How much does it matter to you? Because it's affecting so many people in the country, and there is a trickle-down effect to it. I want to talk vaping, the issue with kids and adults, and where we think this is going, because the numbers are showing no signs of slowing down whatsoever, but the government apparently is getting more involved. Do you want that, or do you want it up to the consumers to be aware of what's taking place? I want phone calls and want texts on the vaping topic. 81807 or 651-989-9226. All right, Carter, when you're vaping, it's normally your new view of a bong. What's your concern level about what's taking place with vaping?
Well, I am concerned. There's twofold here. I mean, kids, by nature of being kids, like to rebel, and that's, I assume, why a lot of kids were smoking in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that's maybe why some of them are vaping. But there's also maybe a factor that there's this perception, and I believe it's still true. I guess that's the thing about vaping. It's still kind of the great unknown, right? I mean,
yes.
How safe are these things? I mean, they say it's a safer alternative to actually smoking cigarettes.
Conflicting information.
Right. You hear things like popcorn lung, which sounds really pleasant.
That sounds fun.
So I think you treat it just as you would treat smoking. And while a teenager at the age of 18 can go buy a vape and start vaping if they want to, the education on it, to not know that there's nicotine in it when you – I actually – there was a period in my life where I did vape for a short period.
I remember that.
Because I was thinking, hey, you know, I gave up smoking. Maybe I can do this.
But when you start,
when you go buy the juice for it, there's different levels of nicotine.
Oh, the juice! I thought you said the most.
So it's, I mean, you're either buying one, you know, it's whatever the percent grams of nicotine in it.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, you should be aware that there's nicotine in it.
It's laid out right there in front of you, right? There's nothing surprising about it. Now, for you, you had quit smoking for a while,
right?
When you went back to trying vaping,
mm-hmm.
Why?
Stupidity.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Stress of working with me, maybe?
Yeah, you know, I need an outlet.
Yeah.
And
it's better than robbing banks?
Better than robbing banks. I think we can definitively say that it's safer and healthier than robbing banks.
Well, you know what? Not until you get,
I suppose,
if you don't
when
get,
you get caught. Right.
Right? I mean, it's a pretty good run if you don't get caught. Somebody says, I think this is a fad. It's worth billions, this industry. Sign me up for the next fad that is worth billions of dollars and right now is showing that 37% of seniors have tried that. Adam, it can't be a fad at that level. You can't reach those levels. There's pressure on the FDA. There has been for a while. You should have reacted sooner. They've been saying a little bit of what you said before. We got to wait for some more studies to come in, more information to come in. I don't want to be in the position where I'm saying we need to rid the industry, though. Are you there? Because I'm certainly not.
No.
Because we have this conversation at times when people will say we have so many limitations and so many price changes with conventional cigarettes, why not ban it? Cigarette smoking has never done a thing for me. It just hasn't. I've mentioned before, I think pot should be legal. There was a point in my life when I smoked a fair amount, right? Not now, but again, and I think there's, if we get in that area, we can get in the comparison with alcohol. But cigarettes.
Fair amount.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at
you.
I smoked a fair amount.
A fair amount.
A pot.
By the way, what is a fair amount?
Well, it depends on who you are.
Exactly.
Depends on what kind of line of work you're in, too, right?
It was once. Okay. I tried it once.
Didn't inhale.
You know, didn't inhale, and then, you know. I woke up and I figured I better try it the next day. I mean, you have, Adam, if it's research.
Hey, you quit. You quit every night.
It's R&D. You know, at about 2 a.m., I thought this was a bad decision, and I was sucked back into it the next day. More of the text here. People fool themselves into believing that vaping is safe smoking. Let's talk 30 years from now.
That's what I keep thinking about. You know, a decade, two decades down the road, what kind of health impact are we going to see from widespread vaping?
Yeah. It's a little bit like you talking on your phone when you're pumping gas.
Or getting back in the car.
Yeah, Lindsay basically said right before she left, we were going to explode.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally aware of that now. I ground myself before I grabbed the.
Okay, I don't need to hear pump. Like, you touching yourself. Okay, I mean in public. I mean, Dave, does he really need to talk that way about touching himself in public while he's pumping gas?
Like I said,
his little phrases.
He's a budding newsman. He's learning the ropes. Here.
Yeah, Shaletta. I mean, do you want to call him out for these comments?
He forgot I was here, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm standing right here, dude.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. Well, okay, Shaletta, answer. Because Lindsay was trying to convince us, because the two of us are soft. Low T and myself are soft.
Right, right.
That when it's cold outside, we put that pump in the car, and then we run back inside.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't do that.
No.
Your car is going to explode.
Why would you run back inside? You have to stand out there and make sure everything goes okay before you.
It's 10,
to warm up.
It's 10 below.
But it doesn't matter. It's a safety thing. Either you freeze to death or you explode.
How many people have exploded? Have I missed this epidemic? Of just like people
exploding. People.
Adam, are you embargoing the story of people exploding?
No, there's a problem for Spinal Tap's drummers. I know that.
Yes, it is. Is it possible they were tied to pumping gas?
You never know. Mick Shrimpton and the rest.
Yeah. Anything could happen. Just stay out there. Deal with the cold. You live in Minnesota. You know that. Be safe.
Now, I wear a coat, though, too, because I'm dealing with the cold weather. So if the three of us would stalk you on a day when it's 15 below,
mm-hmm.
and we see you and you're at the pump, and it is bitterly cold out there,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be out there the whole time.
I'm going to be out there the whole time.
Carter, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be out there the whole time now.
You better.
Yeah.
You like living, huh?
I do.
Okay.
I don't want to explode.
I don't want to set up your GoFundMe page.
No. Well, low T spread about a whole neighborhood.
I don't know of a single story in Minnesota where one person has exploded.
Nor do I, but I don't want to be the first.
You don't want to be the demo? I mean, but think about the buzz for the show, Carter. We'll be able to play the before and after.
Do it for the team.
Come on, for the team.
Take
for the
one
team.
For the team.
Do
yeah.
it for the
There's
team.
There's no I in team.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What do you believe in more, yourself or the station? As my uncle once said, my late great uncle Harold, are you a giver or are you a taker? Which are you? You want to give to the station, give to the show, or are you going to take life for yourself?
I want life. Yeah. I choose life.
I think that's probably a good call. On both these policies, right? Do you know of one single person where they explode? Dave, you know one single story where somebody was pumping the gas, they went inside the car, and an explosion took place. Have you ever heard of one story?
Happened in Zoolander, but that was a different set of circumstances from what I remember.
I think that was.
Freak gasoline fight accident, I think we called that.
Wait, was that Zoolander 1 or Zoolander 2?
Well, that was the original. I didn't see the deuce.
Yeah, thank God we had Zoolander 2. I don't know of a single one, and this could be my final words we ever play here on the station. When it's cold, I'm going outside. By the way, I don't believe Carter either. I mean, yeah.
You think he's a fraud on that, too?
I think this is like his Christmas thing. He's talking. He's talking tough. But if I see him in Rosemount in about 2 weeks when it finally gets cold again, and it's supposed to remember, I love winter. Yep. He'll be inside his brand new BMW that he just bought the other day. Yes or no? Inside the car or not, Dave? What's your guess?
Oh, I think he's turned a corner in life, actually.
I do.
I think he's bought
I have.
In. He's all in on Lindsay
totally
Gensel. And I'm with her, too.
I'm all in on being all out.
Very good.
You stay outside, too?
Always, yes. I don't break the rules. I don't go on the phone.
Stop.
I don't go in the car. I am not a rule breaker. I don't want to get yelled at by the gas station attendant.
You think they're going to come on, knock on the window
and
tell you something?
They'll let you know.
No, they call you out on the
speaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaker.
Hey,
put the cigarette out and get outside.
Well, I'm not lighting up the smoke right by the tank.
No, you've made it clear you're lighting up something else.
And a fair amount.
And a fair amount.
At one point, a fair amount. But to me, a fair amount was just one time. You, the fact that your family called you Uncle Bong is a bit problematic that we might explore after the topic. Yeah, we got some
low
issues.
Low T, Big Bong.
When you do the news tomorrow at 1:03, Low T, Big Bong here. Go with that as your name to see if we can.
LT double B.
Exactly. Now, more people are sending me videos of people exploding, you know, while they're pumping gas.
I told you.
Yeah.
We're going to be down at the hospital. We're going to be taking selfies with you. Yeah. You don't listen.
I'm in the burn unit. And you're going to be, like, taunting me.
And then I'll be tagging you on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Before and after pictures. You know, boy, how's his decision working out today? They can stop the pumps from inside the store if you don't comply.
I should hope so.
Yeah, exactly. But has that ever happened? They see you going into your car. You think they're shutting them down? I don't think, honestly, they're paying enough attention.
But if somebody's smoking, though, right?
Yeah, right. But, okay, at most stores, one person's in there, two people are in there. Are they really out there with the binoculars? I mean, like, breaking this down? They're just, yep, pump seven's ready, you know, and going that way. That might be where we're at soon, Carter. Can we get a gig where when you're pumping the gas and then they got kind of the video presentation? How about we do like a promotion for the Chad Hartman show right there?
Yeah.
Dave, can you make that happen?
I've seen other local radio personalities on the pumps when I'm...
Oh, you have?
Well, PA for Quick Trip.
Oh, thing. Nice. But that's purple related, right?
Yes.
Does he give a yaw dot?
Nobody gives the, like, he's doing play by play of a somebody pumping, filling up. Pumping up, I was going to say, filling
again.
Up.
Well, seriously. You know, Shaletta's here. I mean,
he keeps acting like he doesn't see me. I have four kids, man. Come on.
You're sick.
You see me?
I mean, you're
here. I'm standing right here in front of you.
Sick human being. Low T, BB. The info is out there. There's a little thing called the internet. It should be easy for kids to find the info. After all, they teach us how the computer works. Yeah, that's going back to when you're vaping, it has nicotine right in it. That's just people being dopes. Chad, all seriousness. A high school girl in North Metro caught fire last week pumping gas and cell phone. I don't remember that story. Yes, but
I thought the jury was still out on that story. I had heard that it was not accidental.
Okay.
But
Yes. But again, so here's where I'm a fraud. I'm drawing my lines of hypocrisy, which I do on a regular basis. I don't talk on the phone ever while I'm pumping. Do you ever do that?
I try to avoid talking on the phone at all
possible
circumstances.
Yes, you do. Seriously. I could literally spend 3 hours in here with them talking.
Well, then I'm wondering why you're calling.
And
like,
then
why are you calling?
And then I call them 5 minutes later. Yeah, what do you want? What do you need? I mean, you know what it
could be? If I take the call.
I could be on fire at the gas station.
You're making the wrong call.
I mean,
come on.
I mean, you're close by. Seriously, how are you going to feel if I call you and they see my third degree burns and the phone is now molted onto my hand and
what it has, you try to call
and it has Husky because that's what your name is on my phone.
I think they're thinking he made a terrible mistake.
Dave, when I'm on fire, should I call Adam? Where does he rank on my list?
I wouldn't call him. No,
thank you.
I would think of a few numbers you would call before Adam. Don't call me.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, Shaletta, if I'm on fire, can I call you at least?
I got you.
Thank you.
Call me. I got you.
Because you're going to come over with the selfie.
I want to be the first one with the pictures. Yeah. I want to have the exclusive.
She doesn't know you well enough either.
Yeah. I think that's what Adam's saying. Spend 10 years
with
them.
You do know you well enough. Yeah. That's why.
Spend 10 years with them. You didn't say, my show. That's what he's going to think right there. First time, I got a lot of new ideas. Smoked cigarettes for 15 years. Attempted to quit multiple times without success. Switch to vaping. Use that for 5 years. And now quit all nicotine. Fantastic for that person. And there are many, many stories many people who share a similar story. How about a bottom of the hour news update?
Sure, I'm ready.
Let's go. And Congressman Tom Emmer's coming up in less than five on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are expecting a call any moment from Congressman Tom Emmer. A reminder, if you missed it early in the day, the Twins surprised Joe Mauer at his high school. He was at Armstrong High School where he graduated. No, we won't go there. At Creighton-Durham Hall. And the Twins brought in some of the heavy hitters, Kent Hrbek, Bly Levin, Oliva, Tom Kelly. And they announced that Joe's number seven, will be retired. That eventually happening surprises no one. Maybe the pace and how quick it happened, just, you know, month after he had announced that he was done playing. So that'll take place this upcoming season. Speaking of the Twins, hot stove for the Twins has been, it hasn't been hot stove. It's been a medium stove. It's been rather quiet, to say the least. But we have a show on every Wednesday. Chris Atterbury and the team. So Adam and Laura get Wednesdays off at 6 o'clock. So the latest update on the Twins will take place this Wednesday, 6 to 6:30, right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. We'll pivot once we get to Congressman Emmer. We were told he was going to call in. It may happen. Something may have happened which could prevent us. You always got to pivot if necessary. But Dave saw this story earlier in the day regarding schools and days off tied to the weather. Listen, WCCO Radio, a lot of this station's success has been built on days off, right? I mean, the legendary Boone and Erickson, and listening to Boone and Erickson. And Boone and Erickson, we're going to say, what, Tartan? What was your district? Well, Tartan was your high school, right?
Yes, District 622, Maplewood, Oakdale, North St. Paul.
I was District 281, the Robbinsdale District. I wanted to hear that.
Oh, every morning if it snowed the night before.
The numbers were enormous. Now what is happening with a lot of schools through Google, this little company that's having a bit of success, Chromebook. Through Chromebook, they're reaching out to you and saying, guess what? You're not coming. But we have sent information to you. That is in Congressman Emmer, is it? Okay. And we're going to teach that way, right? That they're reaching out to kids, and the teachers know they have to show up. I mean, or maybe they can do it where they're at, too.
Sure.
Right? As opposed to showing up at school, if everybody's connected in that way, I think it's reasonable.
It's hard to say it's not.
Right?
As a kid, obviously, you hate it. And even as a an adult looking back, I kind of hate it.
Yeah.
But as a guy who's a parent and about to have a kid in school?
Yeah.
Yeah, sign her up. Let's go. You're learning today, hon.
Right. Now, it still puts you on the hook. All of us have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're young enough, you still have to be there. But I think we do have computers. We do have technology. And let's also be honest, if you start missing too many days, then you're going to make up for them, whether it's during a break, whether it's, at the end of the school year. Most kids don't want that. Most teachers don't want that.
No, definitely not.
So if you have this availability, I think it's fine. Shaletta, if they
have
it.
No. That's
really
what the snow days are all about. Let the kids be kids.
Really? Give them the day off. Nah. Again, if I'm a kid, 100 out of 100.
Of course.
I want the day off.
I'm going sledding. Let's go here. We got a snowball fight to have.
All right, let's go to Congressman Emmer, and let's see where he stands on this. Tom, always a pleasure, sir. While we were waiting for getting this topic, that a number of schools now, when there is a weather matter, okay, when kids and teachers cannot get to school, that through various Google Chromebooks, that they are still teaching, right? So let's say it's in our state. Obviously, it's horrible winter. Something's taking place. Do you think the kids should still have to pay attention to the computer, or do you think they get the day off, sled, watch TV? Where are you at on this one?
I think it's great. They're already paying attention to the computer all day. They might as well keep doing it.
Yeah, right? I mean, you're probably not going to do it all day, but
no.
Give them a couple hours and then go out. Right?
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
You know?
I think it's great.
I think there's a way to go.
And just remember, Chad, you and I, we walk both ways to school.
Correct.
Uphill and 20 below weather. And,
correct.
You know.
And then we worked together, controlled data. We made 40 cents for the whole summer. We were working that hard when we were out there.
I'm not even going to go there. Those are great memories. Boy, that set us off on an amazing career.
And we should probably keep most of the details of that job on the on the down low, as they say.
What a great job.
Yeah.
It was a great summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate that you're available to me to talk, but let me ask you this. Shouldn't Congress be in session today?
You know, that's a great point, Chad. Look, I don't control the calendar, and this was the end of last week. I think we should have been a lot more aggressive, all right? We should have been more aggressive immediately after the election, Republicans and Democrats alike, and trying to get some major things done before the end of the year, like the tax extender bill with some issues that I'll tell you one that I was working on. The tax bill had an unintended consequence for our RV dealers across Minnesota and across the country, because it didn't, for tax purposes, it didn't treat trailers the same way it treated over-the-road vehicles, right? They didn't get the same tax treatment. So it's something we're trying to get fixed. Well, I think we should have been working really hard to get those details done before the end of the 115th Congress. The spending stuff is all done. There are 7 appropriations bills that are done, with the exception of one major sticking point coming from the White House, which is the president wants his funding for the border security that, you know, that's kind of caught up in political rhetoric right now, and I don't know how it's going to end come the end of the week. But the answer to your short question is, if I would have been the one making these decisions with our friends across the aisle, I think we would have pushed a little bit harder to do some of these things right after the election.
Okay, let's talk about the wall, because the White House has changed their view for the day, saying Sarah Sanders said early in the day during a briefing that they are looking at all agencies available trying to come up with the money. Now, nobody wants a government shutdown. I understand that. I think there's little wiggle room so far from the Democrats. Paul Ryan and others have said they're not certain they have the votes in the House right now when it's strictly on the $5 billion for the wall. Does this pass the Tom Emmer test that the White House is now looking for $5 million on its own to fund the wall?
And I'm sorry, you can't see me smiling as you're going through it when you said the White House has changed its position today. First off, you're going to have to point me to where Paul Ryan said that. We do have the votes in the House to pass it. This has been the argument that has been raised by the Democrat leaders over the past week. The votes are there in the House. The question really is the Senate. But let's get to this real give and take. First off, I don't believe there is a Democrat out there that is not as supportive in border security as I am or as a Republican is. This whole thing is taken on a life of its own because of the personalities that are involved. Ask yourself, Chad, what is the leverage the White House has, really? I know they're trying to create the idea that they have leverage, but you could have a quote-unquote shutdown, but it isn't even a real shutdown, because two-thirds plus, maybe even three-quarters of the government will continue to run to operate because it's already been funded. And you've got a White House that then can determine with the rest of it who qualifies as a quote-unquote essential employee. So this idea that we're calling it a shutdown, it's really not a shutdown. Second, okay, the most you could do, and this really isn't leverage as I understand it, is you can say, I'm not going to do these bills. All right, you're all going to have to wait here until the end of the year. You stay in Washington over Christmas. We'll take you right to New Year's. Guess what? A new Congress is sworn in on January 3rd, and it's all for naught anyway. So, I mean, this is all a lot of political theater, and it's not even really good political theater on both sides of the aisle, as far as I'm concerned. You got 7 bills that are done. You all agree on quote-unquote border security. You may not agree on exactly how you want to get it done. This isn't helping anything as usual. We need to just sit down and have the discussion and get it concluded.
So it doesn't matter if it's the Democrats or the Republicans. It's not like everybody is going to agree. And there are times when you could have a Democrat as the president, and he may not always agree with the Democrats other than the Senate or House. But isn't this one, I think you kind of explained a little bit, where the White House and Republican leaders really aren't on the same page? And if there would have been more coordination between the two, this would have been handled sooner and maybe sets us up for the possibility of the hopefulness of a greater immigration bill. But as you just laid out, if the president and Ryan and McCarthy and McConnell and others were talking, they would be telling the president, this isn't worth fighting over right now.
Well, I don't know that they can do that, because the president would be saying, you told me months ago that we were going to get this done and you haven't gotten it done. I think this is regardless of how you feel about the personality. Midwesterners can have a difference of opinion on that. Really, he's simply making this statement at the end that this is a promise I made. This is a promise that we're going to keep. The Republicans, again, this is on both sides of the aisle. Let's not forget that the leadership on the Democrat side of the aisle made a decision more than a year ago as they were leading into this most recent midterm. They weren't going to help with anything. They were just going to say no to all of these initiatives because it worked for the Republicans so many years ago.
Right.
Maybe it'll work for the Democrats. Well, it did. They won the majority in the House. They did not have the same success in the Senate. So here we are. We have a divided government, which is exactly what our founders set up. And what is missing today, and it is a humble opinion, humility is a good thing, and I've earned all of mine, we need leadership, and not just from the White House saying this is what we want, but we need leadership from people on both sides of the aisle in the House and the Senate saying, okay, look, we said we were going to get this done. Let's quit playing games with your statistics show this, our statistics show that. Everybody agrees that, I shouldn't say everybody. There are a small few that would tell you that borders don't matter. I believe borders are important, and I believe making sure that this country is secure so that you know who is entering and you know that the ones that are entering are coming here for the right reasons. I think that's very important, and I don't think that's a Republican or Democrat thing, and that's the discussion that has to be had.
We have just a couple minutes left. Let me ask you about, we had a judicial ruling over the weekend that puts the long-term future of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, in jeopardy on tying the mandate and whether without the mandate it makes the whole bill crumble and it doesn't hold up. The president supported that. He was very excited. I have not heard those same comments from any Republicans. Is this the way you want health care and changes with health care to go, basically saying the entire Affordable Care Act should be ended?
Yeah, well, for me, Chad, zero-sum politics is not the way to do things. You know, one person wins means another person loses. We need to make sure everybody's winning. And let's make sure that everybody's clear. Regardless of the judge's ruling last week, the Affordable Care Act, its future was already tenuous at best. This thing has been failing since it was enacted for lots of different reasons. And I know the politicos and the elite folks want to point fingers at one side or another. It's your fault. It's their fault. The bottom line is people tried to enact something that they thought would solve a problem. And that's a problem that we really didn't face in Minnesota like they did in some other places. You know, when this thing was passed, 94% of Minnesotans had access to health care coverage. And, you know, the 6% that weren't covered at the time, most had access to a program if they wanted to access it. This decision the other night, quite frankly, I hope it lights a fire under both Republicans and Democrats at the federal level to once and for all stop playing games with words and get the darn thing fixed. That's the bottom line is, you know, we can talk about this all day long. We've been doing it for years now. Let's get the solution to the problem, and then we don't have to worry about court rulings. So I think the bigger thing is when I got elected, we had a third of the counties across this country didn't have a choice for health care, and it was jumping to two-thirds within the last couple of years. So this thing wasn't working, and we weren't working together to get the thing fixed. And maybe this ruling now on Friday night, maybe this will be the spark that lights the fire that gets this thing finally moving towards some type of resolution with a solution that benefits the majority of America.
I have to jump in, sir. Let's do this. Let's set up an extended visit. We can get to many issues, and I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, I love it. Thanks. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. All that stuff.
Same to you also, sir. Congressman Tom Emmer, word's done. I'm drained. Dave, you drained? I mean, it's seriously.
Heck of a day. Heck of a long day.
Shaletta, what are your thoughts so far? I mean, I think the key phrase coming out of this show today was low T, big bong from Adam Carter.
And selfies and gas stations and burning up.
Yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. That when I burn at the gas station, you will respond to my call.
I want the exclusive, yeah. Just, I'm coming as a newswoman. Yeah, I'm taking pictures.
Yeah, you're taking pictures of me when I've got third-degree burns. Mm-hmm. Not as a friend, you know. But
I mean, I'll be a friend later, but I need that exclusive.
Thank you. And whereas Dave doesn't want to even answer the phone.
No, no. And if I happen to be at the gas station, I mean, maybe I'll stop by, but I'm getting a Slurpee
at least
first,
I'm
let's
coming.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to take advantage of my my carcass off to the side of the road. I don't think that's very nice. All right, tomorrow, who's the guy in the mornings on Channel 4? What's his name?
Rushi?
Jeff DeRushi.
Yes.
He'll join us.
Right.
And then Playing Politics with the Star Tribune. That's 1:35. Enjoy Paul and Jordana. They are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.